When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Pop Culture, the podcast that brings soft drinks to the top of the menu. I'm Helen O'Hara, film journalist, author, and lifelong teetotaler. Not with me today is my co-host, Kat Brown. And that's because this week we have been up to something a little different. And as we warned you last time, something that may make you hate us forever. So I'm really sorry about that, if so. Now, this comes from one of the very first things that I talked about with Kat when we started talking about this podcast was an experience that we shared in 2019. We were feeling remarkably flush for once, and we took ourselves to the Fat Duck. Now, the Fat Duck, for those of you who don't obsessively follow the lives of chefs, is the restaurant founded by Hessen Blumenthal in 1995. It was initially a fairly traditional French bistro, but as Blumenthal got more and more interested in the science of food and how and why we cook, things became a bit more experimental and, most famously, a bit more playful. So this is the restaurant where they give you a giant conch shell, for example, that plays sounds of the sea while you eat a seafood dish. Or they give you a gold watch that dissolves into a soup for a sort of Alice in Wonderland inspired moment. It's really cool, it's really clever, it's really tasty, and it's one of the top restaurants in the world. Now, I'm not just laying all of this out to wax lyrical about posh food and a wonderful time that we once had. The reason that this is all relevant to pop culture is that when we went in 2019, Kat and I discovered that the Fat Duck also does a soft drinks flight. So that's a series of soft drink pairings for all of these elaborate courses of their food. And when we started work on this podcast, they were therefore top of our list of people we wanted to talk to. And by them, I mean, in particular, head sommelier Melania Bellassini and her team, because we wanted to know how they put these pairings together. We got in touch with them and they very kindly invited us to have the full food and drink experience, which was extraordinarily generous of them. But what was mind-blowing for us was learning from Melania herself about how much effort and expertise goes into each of these soft drinks. This is not just a matter of choosing the right juice or finding the right de-alcoholized wine for each course. This is a whole new kind of drinks science, I think, and something that has certainly inspired me and I think is going to hopefully inspire all of you listening to try mixing new things and trying new ways of matching your soft drinks to your food as we go through this podcast. So we hope that you will indulge us with this rather unusual episode, which we recorded at our table with Melania herself, hence there's a bit of background noise. So with no further ado, the Fat Duck.
Helen, I can't believe that I am saying this, and nor yet that I'm actually conscious to be able to say this because I'm so full of delicious food, but we are at the Fat Duck with Melania Bellassini, head sommelier at the Fat Duck. Thank you so much for being with us today. How long have you been working at the Fat Duck?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for coming. It's an honour and a pleasure to have you here and to show you what we are doing and what do we believe. I've been here for almost 13 years.
Amazing.
Wow. Even though I can't believe myself. And it has been an amazing experience for me from the first day until now. And many more years, I hope. Yeah.
You started off hoping to become a fashion designer, I understand, when you were a teenager up in northern Italy. How did your path lead you to wine and drinks?
Well, yes, you are right. Actually, my dream was to design beautiful clothes. And then I end up to follow the path of tourism in the hospitality school, very close to my house, where is full of tourism because it's a beautiful area in Legarda.
Yeah.
And then from there, through my school, I won a wine competition. At the time, at 16 years old, I was not even drinking wine. And yeah, out of surprise, I won the competition and I got the ICS course, that is equivalent of sommelier study. And then I just love the world of wine and drinks and what's the relationship between the product that we can enjoy, but also the story, the passion, and the tradition of people that I meet through my career.
Yeah.
So in the wine world.
So since coming to the Fat Duck, I mean, you've been telling it, because I'll be honest, we've just been talking the whole way through lunch, and we're just now sort of synthesizing some of that conversation for you all. But you were telling us that you kind of worked your way up. You were a kind of storyteller here, which is the sort of the waiter level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then joined the sommelier team. And I mean, when in your journey did you become aware of, you know, a push to do more for soft drinks and to really kind of experiment more and see what more you could do?
So the Fat Duck has been always a beautiful experience in terms of food. And as well, I was very lucky when I came to work with amazing sommeliers that they taught me a lot throughout the experience. And in 2018, when I became head sommelier, I saw with the Dry January that it was a gap in the market of soft. And because we are not in London, people are driving, they're taking obviously trains, but majority of them, they are driving here. Yeah, they were not drinking much water or maybe a soft. And then I took the opportunity to build the experience for these guests with soft drinks to give them an alternative.
We have been experimenting with just incredible soft drinks today. You've been talking about the kind of blends that you do. So it's a matter of finding and creating more than finding. I think maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, for a wine flight, it's about finding wines that complement the meals.
Correct.
In a lot of cases, what you're doing with the soft drinks flight is to literally create a drink.
Yes.
To match. So how long does that, how long, you know, do you have for that process?
As you mentioned, to find a wine takes a lot of research throughout the suppliers or producer and a lot of tasting. That is quite incredible and makes our profession quite enjoyable as well. But creating a soft pairing actually is up to us. Up to our knowledge and up to our creativity, the intuition as well, to combine different drinks and combine with food that is quite unusual sometimes, but quite comfortable. And the level of our food is incredibly high, so we need to really match the creativity with the taste. It needs to be as amazing as the food. And it can be quite challenging as well.
It's so interesting thinking about the creativity, because Helen and I have come here on our own dime a couple of times before and always been blown away by the food. And the second time that we came, I had the non-alcoholic drinks flight. Mm-hmm. And again, mind just blown there. But for a lot of people who, for example, are driving, they might drink alcohol normally. There can be a sense of lack with non-alcoholic drinks. And what you do so extraordinarily, particularly on the drinks that we've tried today, is to not create replacements for wine or anything mm-hmm. else, but like genuine alternatives. I've just had the most incredible, what felt to me like a sort of non-alcoholic Pedro Ximenez sherry, so rich and syrupy and date-like, and then you reel off all these incredible ingredients that have nothing in them. Could you possibly take us through like maybe a couple of the juices and how on earth you begin with that? We had maybe the pomegranate and beetroot juice that we had with our beef, which, I mean, move aside red wine, frankly. Mm-hmm. That was, I mean, where on earth do you begin with something like that?
Well, the idea is to create something that is equally good in complementing the food as a wine does. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we need to find out drinks that they are not alcoholic. And sometimes with, for example, the beetroot and pomegranate that you mentioned, for the main course, I'm imagining in my mind, okay, what I can drink with this main course, what I need to complement this main course. And sometimes I relate it to the wine that we match. Sometimes we start to match with wine and then we create the soft pairing. But sometimes we try to figure out which kind of component the dish has to maybe use the same component and create the liquid version. So, for example, with the main course, we start from a wine that we are matching Rioja, for example, and we analyze which kind of flavors Rioja has, and or Malbec, for example, as well, another alternative. So we try to recreate, analyze the flavor profile that the wine has, and find the component that in fruit and vegetable has the same flavor profile. So in this case, the wine can be very red fruits, quite deep flavors, spicy, oaky characteristic. And in the drink, non-alcoholic, we match this characteristic. So beetroot is quite earthy. And pomegranate it has this kind of texture that is quite resembling the tannic characteristic of the red wine. So give this kind of a feeling of dryness. Mm. And we had a little touch of date syrup that give this kind of velvety and deep flavor. And also we add some smoke water to recreate the oaky flavors of the wine, and then some drop of bitters as well to give this spiciness that we can find in the wine. While the opposite side is creating a drink from a flavor profile of a dish. So, for example, as you said, Pedro Ximenez for the sweet drink. So we match with the Black Forest Gatore that is mainly chocolate and cherry.
And that was an intense chocolate and cherry treat.
It really was.
So we try to liquefy the flavor profile of the dish. And to do so, we just figure out what we can take as an ingredient for a drink and make it quite similar on the same balance of sweetness and acidity, to match with the food. In this case, we add Merlot grape juice, cherry syrup, and cocoa nibs to emphasize the chocolatey and cherry characteristic. But also, we add some non-alcoholic distillation of different herbs and spices. In this case, we use the Lee's American malt that they give this kind of bourbon whiskey characteristic as well.
This is the first time that I tried the. Is it Lyle's?
That
I tried it in the wild, so to speak, having heard like volumes about it from friends, including friends who still drink booze over the years. And we had an amazing iteration of it earlier in the Boulevardier. Probably, does it have a full name, or was it just the...
It's a Streetwise Boulevard.
Streetwise Boulevard. That you had actually created for another tasting menu previously.
Exactly.
Can you talk us through this drink as well? And then I think I'll just let Helen loose on it, because she's never been more excited about anything in her life.
It is my favourite thing in the world ever at this point, yes.
Thank you. Well, Streetwise Boulevard actually was a creation that we created for an old dish that we had in the Journey menu, like the previous menu that we had after Melbourne. So the dish was about walking the wood, and it was kind of mushroomy, earthy, very umami flavors with a lot of herbs, touch of a bark style of starch as well. And it was very dark and very mushroomy. So we want to have something that it combine the smokiness and the earthiness of this dish, but also bring some bright and acidity, because it was quite intense. So we came up with the idea to have an old-fashioned style that we didn't have in the wine drinks. It was just completely different. And because at the time, at least American Moldy was a brand new drink that we received, we just find a good balance with Wild Leaf, that is an amazing non-alcoholic distillation of different herbs. And the two components, they have a very different or almost opposite flavors. So Wild Leaf is much more sour, very floral, has this kind of hibiscus and slow berry that it gives this kind of texture, quite dry and quite a nice acidity. While American Mold, the Lees, has this kind of a bourbon, smoky, but on the palate is very soft and no acidity, but a lot of spiciness as well, almost peppery. And then we combine the two together, but obviously what I always research on our non-alcoholic is the third dimension, that is the texture and the longevity in your mouth. And then we add some maple syrup and a little touch of syrup made with pepacha, white pepacha, that is white pencha, that is a type of pepper from Cameroon.
It is. I mean, it is amazing.
And a lot of love.
Yeah, you can taste it. It is fascinating, because I feel like, you know, as a non-drinker, a lot of those kind of flavors, especially the smokiness and the oakiness, are things I have maybe had in tea, and that's really all that's been kind of available. So it feels like you are in, first of all, you know, you're creating a lot on your own, but you also have a lot more to work with, it feels like, now in the last few years. Lots more different flavors to try, lots more different things. And I mean, what's your takeaway? Is it about just combining things? Is it about trying new things, experimenting, putting things together?
Well, when I started in 2018 to combine ideas of creating soft pairing for people that they were not having alcohol for our experience, the options were very limited. So we were doing hot tea, we were creating our juices in-house, because we had availability of juices that were either too sweet or quite bland. Not much options. And that year, actually, we discovered one of the first company that were creating this distillation non-alcoholic, that it was the Seed Leap. So with the Seed Leap, we start actually to create more non-alcoholic options, and we will start to, you know, have fun to see what we can do differently.
Yeah.
What it was very important for me is to have drinks that were not sweet. Because everything in the market was like either cordial or juices. And for me, it was very important to have a really balanced for our menu. And then luckily enough, with the time, this gap has become much more smaller because many more companies and many more people embrace the courage or the idea to invest in the non-alcoholic drinks.
Mm.
And for me, it's incredible what nowadays we can find in the market. Very great fun, you know, also to combine a lot of different layers, a lot of different products that allowed us to play and to, you know, create new things that are very different from what they are, because combined together is, yeah, it's just great fun.
The thing that really blew my mind today is, and it's something that we've talked a lot about on this show, which is, you know, the difference in palate between a never-has drunk like myself, with my very unsophisticated, very sweet palate, and Kat's much more sophisticated, you know...
Drank all the drinks enormously.
Exactly. Enjoyed all the drinks and would like to find that complexity again, that those layers again. And I was worried you would tilt her way, if I'm honest, and that it would all be sort of de-alcoholized wines and things like this. And I thought what's been fascinating today is I feel like you've landed directly in the middle between the two of us. I've loved it, but I feel like Kat has found so many different layers and so much complexity as well.
I basically have no excuse to drink the same old nonsense that I do at home anymore. Like I said, I think when you stop drinking booze, there is a tendency to sort of feel like you're chasing something that's missing. And I think what has been so wonderful about coming back here today, trying the menu, but also with a renewed interest, trying the pairings, is seeing that actually you don't have to replace something as well. Sometimes you just need to take a step sideways and find a completely different way of doing things. I'm also delighted to have tried Season, which I'd heard a bit about from Helen McGinn, but this is Ben Branson, who founded Seedlip's new cocktail bitters. They're 0%, and we've had them across quite a few drinks, it seems. Mm-hmm. You seem to have found so many amazing ways of adding complexity to juices or things that I suppose people just forget that you can be creative with. I suppose what drink on the menu that we've had today is your favourite?
Oh, well, thank you so much for what you said before. For us, it's very important to create something that is an alternative more than a replacement. And what I really, my aim is to have a guest come in here comfortably to say, I don't drink alcohol, perfect, we have this for you. And not feeling like that is missing out, but is actually can enjoy the same experience, but with a different drink. So it's not about having alcohol or not having alcohol, it's about having an experience. And this is, for me, is the aim. My favorite drink is actually very difficult. It's like all the drink that we try today, they are our creation, from mocktail to the old pairing. I'm very pleased that I can collaborate with different producer.
Yeah.
That you know, I saw grow in these 6 years. For example, I have in my heart real drinks that we start together, basically. We met in a fair in 2017 when I was looking for replacement or for different drinks, non-alcoholic one. And then I found him that it was just...
The sparkling teas, Dry Dragon,
teas.
Royal exactly. Flush, amazing. Yep.
And he was not at all... known, and we start to have him. Well, he's a product in the restaurant, and then he start to bloom. And I'm very excited for what David did and all his success. And I'm very pleased that I was one of the first one to work with him. So for me, it's like the achievement of seeing people that they are growing and they believe in what they do, and be able to use their product in our restaurant and believe on it, because they have the same aim as we do. So it's picking and choosing a soft that we create is difficult.
Yeah, I suppose actually it's like asking you to just pick a person. Yeah. They're all so different.
You know what? I thought the same. So for me, drinks are quite people.
Yeah.
Because they have their own character, they have their own personality, and you don't want to speak with the same person every day.
Yeah.
You need to speak with different friends. Yeah. Depend on your need or your, depend on the occasion. And drinks, you don't want to drink the same drink all the time, because
I think we can boring. Agree on that.
I've also been so fascinated in talking to you today about the inspiration sometimes for some of these drinks. So we had with I'm going to be incredibly reductive and call it a fish course, but there were fish elements involved and sea foam and all sorts of exciting things. And the drink we had with it involved melon and kiwi and just incredibly fresh, glorious flavors. And you started off looking for something that would sort of parallel sake,
yes.
Which is not, I would not have known if you had not told me that. I haven't tried sake, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But what a fascinating place to start from. So you're kind of starting from, okay, I want the effect of this.
Correct.
Now go.
Yes, correct. I'm very passionate about sake. It's one of my love at the moment, but I think it would be quite a long love because it is incredible. Different layers. And sometimes with my pairing, I try to achieve, I would not say perfection because it's impossible, but closer to it and the enjoyment of the blending. Because I think pairing especially is an art almost, because they need to merge the two things, food and drink. And as I mentioned before, sometimes I start from the alcoholic pairing to deconstruct what are the flavor profile on the pairing on the drink and see why it's working with the dish, and then recreate this flavor profile with a fruit, vegetable or other drink that I come across. Sometimes I research things that in internet, for example, and I think, oh, I need something like that. What can I find? And then sometimes I come across with things that I have not tasted. I have no idea, but I ask a supplier to, oh, can I try? Can you send me a sample? And then, I'm curious to see what they are. And if they work, why not to find something to blend with?
And then also sometimes you find something and then it just needs like a final edit or twiddle, if you like, which we found very much with the cheese course, which was a beautiful Tunworth cheese blended with white chocolate of all things and reformed into a beautiful little cheese with a passion fruit and pickled carrots pickle next to it. But that came with a glass of Nun, N-O-N, from Australia, wasn't it?
Yes.
Which is a wine alternative, but which you'd added like a little chamomile syrup to it just to, actually I can't even, because I suppose the original was quite dry, wasn't it? What takes you there?
Well, Nun is one of the newest drink that we discover. Is actually landing 2 weeks ago in the restaurant.
Good.
It's very, very new. And I love the concept and I love that it's dry. They create this alternative with verju, grape juice, blended with, infused with different herbs and flowers and spices. And they created this very dry, non-alcoholic drink that is amazing by itself. However, as I mentioned, it's not about the drink itself, it's about pairing. If I think, I'm visioning, this can be good if it was twisted with something else for the dish. Yes, why not? And to do that, obviously, I need to sacrifice myself and ask the chef to have the food I need to try, darling. You know, exactly.
poor thing.
And then starting from having the dish with the base of the drink, from there I start to twist. And when I have the two, because in my mind I can picture, okay, this drink can be good for this course. Not necessarily is a course that is in the menu at the moment. Can be like, I know the dishes that we have, the library that we have is quite immense. And sometimes we rotate the dishes. So if I found a drink that can be good for a duck main course, for example, that we don't have at the moment, but it will be in the season in a few months, I might take a note and hold it. And when the time will come, I will say, okay, can I have a drink, this drink to try, and then merged other flavor profile to adjust it to the to where I want to go. Wow. And I did that with the naan. When I tasted the first time in December, I said, wow, they are very interesting. I didn't know that what to use for. But when I tried in January the new cheese course, I said, I need acidity. I need a floral characteristic to cut through the richness. And I need other few different character. And then naan number three was like the perfect combination. But it was so dry that we said, okay, with a touch of sweetness and chamomile, it can work. So we tried. It's just trying and error and adjusting things.
Has there ever been a dish that kind of stumped you for a while? Has there ever been something where you're like, I'm not quite sure where to start with this one? Or is it just, you know, line up a bunch of different drinks and start trial and erroring?
Oh, yeah. There are sometimes that you have an idea, you start with that, you think is just the perfect pairing, and then you try both together and you say, oh my gosh, it's completely different, opposite of what I was thinking. I need to reframe everything. But it's actually a good start of point of start, because I have, okay, what I was thinking is not working, so I need to work on the opposite side now, because I know what doesn't work, and then start to work in a reverse mode, try to find what it could work. If it's too savory, okay, I need to have more sweetness. If it's too watery, I need to find something more thick.
So
as I mentioned, just a trial and error, and have a little bit of imagination. And I don't know how does it come, but in my mind I imagine things. I have a very vision mind, and sometimes inspiration happens just because I try something and I said, oh, okay, can be. I love to involve my team. Sometimes I challenge them and said, okay, we have a new dish coming up. I imagine that the drink that I want is similar flavor profile of this. So figure out how to do it. And then they start to, you know, challenge themselves and find things. And then when we try together, we just adjust the recipe or change it.
That's
but there
homework.
Is always a start point
of
trying it wrong.
And how far do you go for your drinks? I mean, I know as a sommelier, you have to travel quite a lot. You have to go to the vineyards, I guess, and talk to the producers. And you've talked to us today about using a lot of smaller producers and having very personal relationships, I guess, with a lot of them. So is it a matter of kind of really keeping your eyes open around the world, I guess, for a lot of these ingredients?
Yeah, I mean, like traveling for me is a way to be open-minded and be alert of what's happening in the world, and be always informed. Because if we are stick in our bubble, people around us evolve, and we are still in our bubble, so we are going to be behind. But it's not that the point. The point is, I think sharing the knowledge is a a huge benefit that we can do. Especially in hospitality, we have so many great professional people with amazing creativity, and why not to share?
Yeah,
you know, sharing is caring, they said, but
well, we certainly feel that from today. And actually, one of the most touching moments, apart from my trousers to my stomach, which I'm extremely aware of now, was when we were looking through even just the tea and coffee menu at the end, which is borderline encyclopedic, just another gorgeous journey in itself. And you said, well, you know, this is the last memory that people will have of this experience, and it needs to be just as impactful, just as varied, and just as amazing as everything else. Could you tell me a bit about the care that you guys take over, like your coffee particularly, but I mean your teas, it's just all incredible.
So because we give a lot of important to all the stage of our journey, from the time that people are booked, that we contact them by phone 2 weeks or 1 week before they're coming, until the end of their experience, that is stepping out of the restaurant. All the steps are super important. And tea and coffee, if you think, for many places is the not important thing, because it's just a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. However, for us, is essential to nail it. Just because it's the last memory that the guests have sitting down at the table. If they have a bad cup of coffee, what they remember, oh, amazing experience, but the coffee is terrible. No, we want to avoid that. And we have three baristas actually, that they roast green coffee, they source the green coffee from other part of the world. And we have a small coffee shop where we kindly allowed us to use their roaster.
Oh, lovely.
And every 2 weeks we are going to roast our green coffee beans. And we are very meticulous and very...
What? I'm shocked to hear this.
Yeah. And very precise to do that. And all the recipes are ours.
Yeah.
So I have a coffee specifically... roast for espresso martini only.
Wow.
Oh, that's incredible.
That is attention to detail.
We are very, very keen to have a kind of a very dark coffee, quite a strong coffee, while geisha or other filtered coffee or espresso coffee, they have a different ratio of roast. Is quite interesting wording. It is, again, a very different word. Such as tea or hot chocolate, we are very keen to work with a small producer that they care what they do, they care of the product, they are sustainable, they have, you know, they have the same amount of attention of detail that we have here. It's important to have this amount of detail, because you can see in the final product. You know, is a tea as well. We try to get the best tea in the market, and sometimes they have a very limited quantity that finish the kilo that I have that we have. We have to find another one. So it's a constant. Research, a constant looking for, you know, new thing, because we know that the limitation is quite small.
Thinking about the details as well, we've both been really struck by, I mean, we're looking at absolutely gorgeous pottery. I mean, that sort of is rather doing it down, really, but what we're drinking out of for our teas and coffees, but also we've had gorgeous glassware all the way through it. For the whole sort of non-alcoholic drinks flight, and Helen always jokes that you sort of half expect a sippy cup as though you're a toddler or something, but it's wonderful to have that. How important is glassware weight to that experience?
Oh, glassware is absolutely important. Can change the taste of the drinks that you are drinking. We again are looking to always find the right glassware for our drinks to have the best outcome from it. So the weight, the texture, the thickness of the glass, you know, the size, the how is in your hand, and also we like to work with a great producer, but sometimes as well very small producer, handmade. We have the drink that we serve for the Sound of the Sick, for example. The glassware is coming from Japan.
Oh, wow.
It's a Sudoku glass, and it's called a droplet. And they make by hand only 100 glasses per day, kind of. It's a very small company, but it's very high renovated. And it's just incredible. It's for Junmai Da Ginjo sake. And there is a small pinnacle, I would say, that is look like a drop of water when there is liquid inside, especially sake.
I noticed that. It's astonishing.
And we use it for our juice because it's the same glass that we use for sake. And is the drink that we serve for the Sound of the Sea.
It is. It's astonishing. And yeah, these little sort of, I guess, hand-thrown porcelain cups are just
so we
gorgeous.
Have all the porcelain cups or dishes, plates that we use. They are coming from different part of Europe and different maker. But we are using a potter who the name is Rieko Kaneko, and she's from London. She has a small shop in London. She is absolutely a gifted person, a huge artist, and she does pottery for us made by hand.
Amazing.
And bespoken.
Yeah.
So it's only us has this kind of crockery.
Amazing.
If we ask her, she does what we like, and we talk about things, a concept, and she knows very well what we do here. She has been working with us for, I think, 10 years,
amazing.
Kind of, since the beginning. And the rest of the plate, they are very important, you know. We work with people from Limoges. We do a lot of research.
It's amazing.
Cutlery as well, everything.
What's your kind of lead time for drinks and for soft drinks in particular? I'm guessing, I guess it's a constant research, constantly looking for new drinks, but you know, when they come to you and they say, right, this is our planned menu for next season, like how long do you tend to have to sort of find your pairings and make your pairings?
It's various, actually. Sometimes can be a few months that we have, you know, time to look for things. Sometimes can be days.
Wow.
Because of the lack of quantity. So sometimes we buy things from, you know, suppliers, and suddenly they are running out of stock, and it's not very easy, especially with Brexit. We know everything. It's quite difficult if they are from Europe or from other parts of the world to get them. So we need to be proactive. We know actually the idea of what we want to create, and then we just twist it and make it suitable for the restaurant.
We had a question on the podcast last week about alcohol in food, and I have very much enjoyed my Black Forest gâteau, which had plenty of kirsch in it and in the accompanying ice cream. Given the care done to non-alcoholic drinks options here, how does it work if somebody doesn't want to or can't have alcohol in their food, for example?
Oh, is our kitchen is amazing, to be honest with you. Even though we have a set menu, we can adjust all the requests, you know, that we receive. It's the reason why we contact people after the booking two weeks or 1 week before, because it allowed us to be proactive and create the menu tailor-made for them. What I mean, if somebody is gluten-free, dairy-free, or vegan, we can adjust everything. We had so many different intolerance or allergies, and we are really serious about that in our food, but also in our drink. So when somebody is gluten-free, for example, we use some drinks that have gluten inside. So in this case, we, at the moment or when we know, we just change the drink and we just create different things with the awfully same flavor profile. Or we just find out what we can do not to ruin the experience, but have the same quality, same flavors without the, you know, without harming anybody.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Can I ask, what do you sort of drink at home? Like, what do you mix a lot of drinks at home? Do you what do you go for? Do you just literally get home at the end of the night? I just want some water, thanks. Something very, very plain.
Well, actually, I'm a little bit of the joke of my team. I'm not drinking much. I'm very lightweight. Can I say I'm a cheap person to take on on a date? Because really, with a couple of glasses of wine, I'm fine. More than fine, I would say. No, at home, be honest with you, we are drinking a lot of kombucha. We are drinking mainly non-alcoholic drinks as well. I found the pomegranate being very amazing with food, because it's not too sweet. It has a beautiful balance. And I like to, you know, have this kind of creativity, I would say.
You mentioned an incredible attitude to creativity earlier as regards cola particularly. I should have expected that somebody would come to the Fat Duck and still ask to have a Coke with their meal, but even so, you mentioned that you had taken this as a particular challenge before lockdown. Can you tell us a bit more about this?
Yes, so quite funny, because coming to the Fat Duck and having a Coke, I think is not being judgmental, obviously. Everyone can do whatever they want, and we have Coke and Diet Coke. But I was thinking, why not to give these people that they are comfortable with Coke, because they are drinking, you know, at home or wherever, with a different cola. So my aim was to create a drink that has a similar flavor profile of the Coca-Cola, just to make them, how do you say, comfortable, not to go out from their, you know, comfort zone, but in a different way. So a few years ago, in 2017, I went to Ghana, and my husband gave me to try a nut, and it was a cola nut, very, extremely, very bitter. He said, don't eat it, just chew it. And straight away, apart the bitterness, it was like a cola flavor, like a Coca-Cola. I said, this is incredible. I have the flavor profile of the Coca-Cola from a nut. Is incredible, but they don't, well, what he said, they don't cook it, they don't drink it, they just chew it to carry on the day life, to get some energy, because it's highly in caffeine. So I bought a packet at home, and me being curious and getting some challenges to my team, I said to my team, I would like to use this one and see how we can create something. So again, start with trying and errors. We find out that cooking, boiling actually, for six times the same cola nut, give six different liquids. And every single liquid has different strength of bitterness and caffeine and flavor. So we, at the end, combine the odd batch of cola in a different proportion, reduce it, boiling with sugar and date syrup at the time as well, with different spices and herbs, and make a kind of a cordial out of it and blend it with the ginger ale and soda. And actually, it tastes like licorice, cola, all these kind of very dark flavors, and it was delicious.
Wow.
Unfortunately, with pandemic, a lot of this project and because of lack of product, lack of staff at the moment, at the time, so we just parked on our archive. But I think soon we will start to do this kind of experiment again.
Ready for the 30th anniversary next year.
Of course, yeah. Ready. And also we were doing kombucha.
Ooh.
Fermentation in a house. And then we did a big batch before closing in the pandemic. Mm. And then during pandemic and nobody used it, we had it in the cellar for 6 months.
Oh, no.
So when we came back, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh. Ooh.
Super fermented,
very
sparkling, and it was amazing. And we were buying tea from Africa, from South Africa at the time, and from Portugal, from Douro.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
So what would your advice be to like people at home, you know? Is it about just being curious, trying new things, trying unexpected combinations, trying to deconstruct a meal and, you know, see what you can match with that? I mean, how is that really the place to start?
Well, well, for me, being curious is the first step. So if you are curious, you have an open mind directly. So try new things, you know, like sometimes I try things that I don't like because you never know. With the age, with the time, your palate change as well. So what I did like before, I don't like anymore. And vice versa. Mm. So don't just scrap something because you know that you don't like. Just keep trying.
Yeah.
And yeah, at home, be honest with you, there is a lot of in the market now that can help people to be more adventurous, more creative as well at home. It's much easier to find this kind of, you know, liquid that can be exciting instead of just water or a soft juice.
And what soft or non-alcoholic drink would you add into a theoretical hall of fame, do you think?
Something that I discovered again in Ghana that I was not aware before, it was like a malt, the malt drink.
Mm-hmm.
That is very particular. Not everyone. I tried to introduce it to the restaurant, but my colleague were not very keen. So I said, okay, it's fine. I'm not going to buy it. But I think, you know, I think it's because of my palate. I love umami. And I love, you know, even though I'm very sensitive of bitterness, I love this kind of flavor that they are sweet and sour and bitter at the same time. So very umami character. Give a little bit more third dimension of things. I have a very sweet tooth, but strangely enough, I don't like too much sweet drinks.
Mm. Yes, yes.
But I think a touch of sweetness is always, it's like salt and pepper. It needs to have to enhance the flavor profile of, like we saw it with non and a touch of chamomile syrup.
And as we've seen with the hot chocolate, a little pinch of salt.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wonders.
And my Boulevardier, if I remember correctly, had a bit of malt syrup in it, right?
Yes, so, exactly correct.
I mean, I'm all in favour of malt now. That's my favourite.
It. It's just to find the right balance.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff, you know. I love to use more natural things. I try to, you know, with sugar, I know that white sugar is very bad, and we try to reduce it as much as possible, with the substitution with the darker sugar or coconut blossom. Mm. We love to use a coconut blossom in our old-fashioned drinks, for example. Using date syrup instead of, sugar. And yeah, these kind of small tweaks that give more flavors and give more excitement, I think.
More oomph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three dimensions,
that's it.
Well, I've certainly had a lot of flavours and a lot of excitement, and I didn't get drunk in the process. Win-win-win.
It was just delightful. Thank you so much
for having us and for talking us through your absolutely phenomenal non-alcoholic drinks flight. Oh, what an afternoon.
Thank you very much for coming and enjoying with me.
It has been brilliant. Thank you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So that was Melania Bellassini at the Fat Duck, and I hope you're as inspired as I am to try new combination of drinks and see if you can find something as incredibly delicious as that Boulevardier, which has literally set my head spinning and which I can't stop thinking about. On behalf of myself and Kat, we want to give a big thanks once again to Melania, to her assistant Jonathan and the rest of her team, and to all the storytellers and chefs at the Fat Duck who could not have been kinder to us or more tolerant of me knocking over not one, but two drinks. I blame all the microphone cables, but apologies anyway for that once again. Normal and slightly less insufferable service will resume again next week. So if you have a favourite drink or a menu you'd like us to celebrate or shame, or any burning questions about soft drinks in general or particular, then you can email us at popculturedrinkspodcast@gmail.com. or on Instagram at Pop Culture Drinks Podcast. We've also got a lovely bookshop where you can shop our favourite non-alcoholic books, including books by our guests and those by us. You just go to bookshop.org and search Pop Culture the Soft Drinks Podcast. And that is it for this episode. Do please consider subscribing or leaving a lovely 5-star review on your podcast provider of choice. And in any case, we'll see you back here next week for more soft drinks chat. Everybody keep drinking.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.